This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone. And yes, Linda Swain back on Target St. John's. I want to thank Carrie Hodder primarily for helping to fill in while I was off for a few days. So thank you very much to her. Well, my guest today is one that I've been trying to get for a little while now, and I'll tell you the reasons why. Back in 2012, you may recall, a gentleman by the name of Joe Fleming of Spiller's Cove on the Bonavista Peninsula shot an animal that he initially thought was a massive coyote up near Bonavista. You might remember those pictures. They were widely shared at the time. The pictures of that particular canid looked a lot like a wolf. Well, DNA testing confirmed that the 82-pound animal was, in fact, a Labrador wolf. And since that time, a number of creatures have been shot on the island that have turned out to be either coyote-wolf hybrids or full-bred wolves. And that's been exciting news for many since the native Newfoundland wolf died out back in the 1920s. That was a female, as a lot of people know, who was shot near the Gaff Topsails. The remains of that animal is now on display at the Rooms, a very haunting kind of picture and a very different kind of creature from the one that we've been seeing recently with the Labrador Grey Wolf. Well, the wolves here now appear to be Labrador Grey Wolves or hybrids thereof. And for years, it was believed that the animals on the island were either strays that made their way over on the pack ice or had, you know, interbred with area coyotes. But have they established themselves on the island? Are pups being born here? Those are questions that still remain. What appears to be a wolf pup tripped a video camera in Terra Nova National Park back in 2012, and that video is widely available on the internet as well. Well, here to talk more about wolves and why they're important is a man who has dedicated his efforts to reestablishing wolves in wild places. His name is John Gloa, and he's the senior president of the Maine Wolf Coalition in the United States. Hello, John.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. You're my first international guest on this show.
Son of a gun.
What is the Wolf and the Maine Wolf Coalition, and what does it do?
Okay, first of all, before I go into that, I just want to let folks know that although I live in Maine, I have been to Newfoundland several times. I've traveled the entire island. From the Avalon Peninsula back down to Port of Basque, and I have traveled the entire Trans-Labrador Highway. So I love Newfoundland, Labrador. I love the folks there. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, and I hope to go back again once this COVID thing is taken care of. So I just want to let folks know that I do have deep roots in Canada, and I have a deep love for Canada.
Well, that's good to know right off the bat. So have you come here, you know, with your interest in wolves in mind?
Most definitely, yeah. I wanted to see what it looked like up there in Labrador. I saw no evidence of any wolves whatsoever. I saw no caribou. I did see a cow, moose, and two calves. But I did talk to some folks in Labrador, and it was interesting. I believe it was down by St. Mary's, stopped at a gas station, and I asked if they ever see wolves, and she said, the woman said, "Oh yeah, we have a wolf that comes out back here and eats our trash." So wolves there are just like raccoons out here. People, you know, they really don't pay too much attention to them. As far as Newfoundland goes, I got an opportunity to see some of the caribou out on the Barrens. And, you know, I wanted to talk to people, and I did. And I got a pretty good feel for the amount of habitat that's out there, the amount of prey that's there on the island. It's an absolutely wonderful place for wolves and wolf recovery. I would consider Newfoundland to be a wolf magnet. That's what I would call it, based on the amount of habitat and the amount of prey. And so it comes as absolutely no surprise to anyone who knows anything about wolves that wolves are attempting to reestablish themselves on the island.
And is that what's happening here? Is this a natural process? And is it difficult for wolves to become reestablished in areas where they have previously disappeared?
Wolves need two things. They need food, and they need acceptance by humans. If humans are going to accept their return, they will be there. If humans don't, chances are they won't. They won't be there. The population, moose population on Newfoundland is roughly 100,000. Caribou population is roughly 30,000. I do have some ideas as to why wolves are coming to Newfoundland, if you'd like to hear them.
Absolutely.
Okay. What has happened in Labrador is that, for all intents and purposes, the caribou in Labrador is ecologically extinct, especially the woodland caribou. There are very, very few woodland caribou remaining, so they would support very, very few wolves. In northern Labrador, the large herds up there have gone from hundreds of thousands of animals to just a few thousand animals. So wolves are extremely intelligent animals, and they will go where the food is. If there's no food for them, they're gonna hoof it, and they're gonna look for food. What wolves have undoubtedly found is that Newfoundland has a lot of food. And what has happened in Labrador, in addition to the caribou population declining, the moose population along the coast is growing. So I suspect what's happening is that wolves are moving from the inland upper portions of Labrador towards the coast. And as they're getting closer to the coast, they're looking across the water, and they're seeing another piece of ground there. The Strait of Belle Isle is a roughly 9 to 10 miles wide. Freezes over every winter. That is nothing for a wolf to cross. He could cross that in minutes. So I suspect that wolves have been coming to Newfoundland for many, many, many years. Whether they've been staying or not, who knows? But what is apparently happening now is some are staying, some are breeding with, potentially breeding with other wolves, but they're certainly also breeding with the coyotes that live on the island. So those are the larger hybrids that they're finding now is a result of hybridization between the Labrador wolf and the coyotes that are on the island.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about the difference between wolves and coyotes when we come back after the break. My guest today on Target St. John's is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition. His name is John Gloa, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition. His name is John Gloa, and you and I have spoken before, John, and before the break I teased that we're going to talk a little bit now about the difference between wolves and coyotes. What is the difference?
Okay. One of the things that really interests me about this whole issue is its complexity. And it's an extremely complex issue, and I'm really glad to have the opportunity to share what I've learned over the past 25 plus years with your audience, especially, you know, folks in Newfoundland who are kind of are not used to seeing wolves and not used to having wolves. It's because the issue is so complex, it's really important for the public to be informed and educated. And that's one of the things I've worked really hard to do. Now, I'll refer to it as a coyote. Coyotes came from Western North America. That's where they originally lived. And as wolf populations were decimated across southern Canada and across the U.S., they left open a niche, a void in the ecosystem, which allowed coyotes to move from west to east. As coyotes moved from west to east, there was interbreeding or hybridization between those few remaining wolves and coyotes. Generally, the remaining wolves would be eastern wolf, which is actually a smaller wolf than the gray wolf. Eastern wolves and coyotes do readily interbreed. Gray wolves and coyotes do not readily interbreed. Gray wolves will interbreed with eastern wolves and eastern wolf coyote hybrids. So, moving from west to east, you no longer had pure coyotes, but what you had were coyote-wolf hybrids. They were a hybrid of coyote and eastern wolf, or coyote and gray wolf, slash Eastern Wolf hybrid. That's why you see varying sizes in these animals. Coyotes typically out west in western U.S. range 25 to 30 pounds. Here in Maine, they can go 40 to 50 pounds. Probably about the same thing in Newfoundland, I would assume, because your animals in Newfoundland are essentially the same animals that that we had here in Maine that moved from west to east through Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and finally in Quebec and southern Labrador, and finally ended up on Newfoundland. So
that makes a lot of sense, because when you look at some of these pictures of coyotes that people take here on the island, you do have to do a double take. They don't look like the classic coyote you see, you know, in the scrubland or in around the cacti of western North America.
That's because they're not. They all have some wolf in them, now varying degrees of wolf. Typically, coyote-wolf hybrids, and I'll refer to them as coyote-wolf hybrids for animals that are primarily coyote. You also have wolf-coyote hybrids, but animals that are primarily coyote are probably ballpark 80, 75, 85% coyote, and maybe 10 to 15% wolf, maybe a little bit less than that. So the animal is referred to, the way they consider it is very plastic. It's a very plastic animal. It's an animal that is changing constantly. As you know, as generations pass, potentially they may be getting larger. They may be preying more on ungulates like deer and moose. Certainly, the coyotes in the western United States eat a lot of small animals, squirrels and things like that. So it's important for people to understand that Newfoundland has no coyotes. They are all coyote-wolf hybrids. Now, what's happening with wolves coming over from Labrador is you're now getting wolf-coyote hybrids, because they have a much higher percentage of wolf than the animals that had originally come over. When the 1970s, 1980s, they were first seen on Newfoundland, the so-called coyotes, right?
And seem to be very well established now.
They are, wherever they go, they will saturate the area. These animals establish territories. They're much like wolves in that they establish territories. They live in family units. And these coyotes that you folks have much smaller territories than wolves would have. But what they do is they make a lot of babies, and they occupy, you know, they basically saturate an area with coyote territories. Well established, there's no question about that. There's no way that they will ever be eliminated if anybody wanted to try to do that. So they're here to stay. They're there to stay. And so that's why you have very different, you know, different size animals, animals that may look different. They all have some wolf in them.
So the provincial government, the most recent count that they gave me, there's been a number of hybrids that have been confirmed here in the province. Some full wolves have been captured here, but the majority of the ones that they've been talking about have been these wolf-coyote hybrids. Are they hybrids with the gray wolf or with the Eastern wolf, as you mentioned?
Right. The Eastern wolf, I encourage folks to Google Eastern wolf, and they'll see basically that is a it's an animal that is, I believe, threatened with extinction in Canada. It's a smaller wolf. They live primarily in southern Ontario and southern Quebec. They do not travel, to my knowledge, you know, up Quebec along the shoreline, so that any of these animals would reach Newfoundland. So what you are getting there are the Labrador gray wolves. Gray wolves will, in fact, hybridize with these coyote wolf hybrids. They've seen it in Ontario. They will interbreed with those animals. So my guess is that that's what's happening. What happens as far as wolves go is that dispersal occurs. Most wolves disperse from their family pack. and they're looking for unoccupied territory. They're looking for a mate. If they can't find a mate, if they can't find another wolf, then they may very well mate with one of these coyote wolf hybrids. And that's why it's important, I think, if you want to establish a wolf population, you need to have a sufficient number of wolves so that they can find each other and so that they can establish family units and packs and become, you know, settled and stable. When that happens, typically they won't interbreed with these coyotes, these coyote wolf hybrids, and oftentimes they won't tolerate them. Even, you know, they may kill them. So that's certainly, I believe, what's happening in Newfoundland. I also want to point out too that by implication, the government of Newfoundland, Labrador acknowledges a wolf population on Newfoundland. And the reason I say that is because there is now a wolf hunting season in Newfoundland, which began on October 15. So I would assume that the government would not establish a hunting season on an animal that they believe does not exist there. So that may be news to some folks in your listening audience.
Are wolves important to the ecosystem?
Hugely important. We've seen it in Yellowstone. We've seen it on Isle Royale in Michigan. We've seen it many, many places where wolves are, as predators, opportunists, they try their best to, you know, they have to eat too. And they will take primarily the weaker, the sicker, the younger, the older animals. And we know that they perform an extremely important role in the ecosystem by keeping these prey populations in check. What will happen if wolves are gone is the prey populations will expand and explode, and they will eventually crash. We saw this in the caribou in northern in Quebec and northern Labrador. We've seen it on Isle Royale in Michigan. We've seen it in Yellowstone Park. Basically, everywhere these wolves are exterminated, the prey populations increase and increase and increase. You're seeing it right now in Newfoundland with the moose population. It's 100,000 animals, and that's why it's so important to have wolves in the ecosystem to help to naturally control the numbers of these animals. Now, wolves do not perform the same function as hunters and vice versa. And don't let the government tell you that hunters perform the same function as wolves, because they don't. Hunters select different animals than wolves do. Hunters will take, if they can, the biggest, the best, the most robust moose and caribou, whereas wolves will take the animals that they can catch, and those typically are the younger, the older, and, you know, the weaker animals. So it's important. I believe it's going to be hugely important to allow wolves to recolonize Newfoundland so that they can, you know, fill that void that was created when humans exterminated the wolves from the island.
Is the wolf a keystone species, and what kind of a role does a keystone species play?
A keystone species, if you know what a keystone is, it's a top stone, middle stone, and an arch. If you remove that stone, what happens to the arch? The arch collapses. So, absolutely, if you remove the wolf from the ecosystem is going to change in many, many, many ways, not necessarily for the better. So that's why it's important to have that animal. It's the top of the food chain, and at the top of the food chain, its presence or absence impacts everything in that food chain. So it's, you know, it's important to have them there, and certainly Newfoundland has the habitat and has the prey. It simply needs to, hopefully, have to have a public acceptance, because that's necessary for wolves to survive anywhere.
My guest today on Target St. John's is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition, John Gloa. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
We're talking wolves today with the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition, John Gloa. And John, do wolves have a bad rap?
Little Red Riding Hood is alive and well in many places, unfortunately. Very undeserved reputation, bad reputation among some folks. Wolves are no more danger to you than basically you're far greater danger to wolves than they are to you. They don't want to have anything to do with people if they can help it. They try to stay away from folks and mind their own business. You probably do have wolves right now in Newfoundland, and you wouldn't even know it. Bad reputation, undeserved. As far as livestock are concerned, far more cows and sheep die from natural causes or from weather or illness than die from predation by wolves. It's just been totally blown out of proportion. And my hope is that as human beings become more educated about wolves and their importance in the ecosystem, they'll become more accepting of them as well. They're just another animal.
How can people safely coexist with wolves?
Just live your life. Do your own thing. Wolves are not going to bother you. Don't bother them. They don't want to have anything to do with people. See, people safely coexist with wolves all over the world. So, like I say, they're just another animal. Chances are, if you're living in a wolf territory, you wouldn't even know the animals were there.
You might hear them, though.
You might hear them, and if you're lucky, you'll hear them. If you're really, really lucky, you might even get a chance to catch a glimpse of them. But it's something that it's an issue that people in Newfoundland, just like the people here in Maine and Maritime Canada, are going to be dealing with. Wolf populations are expanding. They're growing. The prey is here. The habitat's here. Wolves are in Newfoundland's future. They're in Newfoundland's past, but they're also in Newfoundland's future. And one reason I wanted to come on your program was to let the folks of Newfoundland know that, and to hopefully they'll learn more about wolves, and the more they learn, like I say, the more they learn, the more they'll come to accept and understand these animals, that they're just another animal. I do want to talk a little bit about hunting. And wolves, some hunters would oppose wolves in wolf recovery because they compete for the same prey. That's right, they do compete. They will compete for moose and caribou on the island. However, generally they will not be taking the same animals that hunters take. And as I said before, hunters and wolves do not perform the same function in nature, in the ecosystem. The wolves, what they do, and they've coexisted with caribou and Newfoundland for over 10,000 years. What wolves do is they keep the herds healthy. They keep the animals healthy. They keep them on their toes. They help to minimize the spread of disease. And they provide, a good, strong, healthy animal and a good, strong, healthy herd of animals so that hunters will have animals to take and that they'll have animals, in Newfoundland for hundreds or thousands of years to come. That's just part of nature. They are part of nature, and hopefully folks in Newfoundland will accept their return because they are returning.
We spoke previously about keystone species, and it's not just about what animals a keystone species might take, and not all keystone species are predators either, but it's about how they impact the behaviors even of other animals in that particular ecosystem. If you have an apex predator in your midst or is around, the animals in that ecosystem behave very differently. They even change the way that they reproduce.
Yellowstone Park in the U.S. Has been looked at through a microscope, and that's basically what they've observed is the behavior of elk, for example, has changed drastically with the return of wolves. What had to happen in Yellowstone? Wolves were exterminated from that area close to a century ago. And as a result of that extermination, the elk had few natural predators, so the elk population exploded. And there were complaints and complaints. There are too many elk. Elk were starving. and they had to call elk. Humans killed elk, hundreds of elk, thousands of elk, to try to bring the population back down to where it should be. Elk became like cows. Their behavior changed drastically. They were nowhere near as active, and as a result, the ecosystem suffered. And once wolves were returned, the elk basically, the ones that weren't killed and eaten fairly soon, smartened up. And the behavior drastically changed, and they went from being cow-like to elk again. So the number and amount and extent of impact that wolves have on the ecosystem is just now, you know, they're just now beginning to learn how important these animals are.
We spoke off the top of the show of the difference between coyotes and wolves, and you said chances are you're not going to see a wolf, but you may hear them. Can you tell the difference between a coyote and a wolf if you're hearing them, the noises that they make?
You know, supposedly you can. I have heard wolves. I've heard both. And depending upon the animal, the larger animals, more mature animals, is going to be a longer howl, perhaps a deeper howl. Coyotes are more of a yipping sound, but young wolves will sound very similar to coyotes. So it can be really difficult to tell the difference. Now here in Maine, we potentially will have both gray wolves and eastern wolves. Our organization right now is in the midst of a scat collection project. We're covering about 5,000 square miles of northern Maine, and we've had 11 scat analyzed so far. Seven of those we have the results for, and of the seven, one actually came back eastern wolf. So eastern wolves are, like I say, a much smaller animal. Potentially, it may be difficult to tell the difference between these animals because there is so much hybridization. I would suspect, though, that the pure gray wolves from Labrador, you probably would not have that much difficulty telling their vocalizations apart from the coyotes that you have there.
And you can tell the difference between the scat of one creature over another? Can you do a DNA analysis on it, or is there other signs that tell you what this animal might be?
Right. I want to encourage folks. I worked for the government in Maine for just about 30 years, and I don't know how controversial your show gets, but I will tell you, having worked in government for nearly three decades, my advice to people is never trust the government. Now, where was I going with that?
Citizen science.
What was your question again?
It was about the being able to determine an animal species from its scat.
Okay, right. So where I was going with that is that here in the U.S., the federal government and the state governments do not want wolves, period. They don't want wolves. The federal government is trying to get them removed from the listed endangered species, and state governments don't want them. And a large reason for that is because many hunters don't want them, and hunters have the political clout that wildlife advocates like me don't have. So what our little organization did, and I apologize for not going into too much detail about it, but we're a little group. We started in 1994, and the reason we started was because our state government and our federal government were not doing anything to help wolves and wolf recovery after we had a wolf killed here in Maine. So the more I learned about what the government wasn't doing, the more I realized that we had to step in. So here in Maine, in the Northeast U.S., state and federal governments are doing nothing to learn about wolves or to educate the public about wolves. What our little group did is we went out and we got a grant, and we are collecting wolf scat across a 5,000 square mile, scat across a 5,000 square mile area of Maine. All we're doing is driving the roads, and we learned the process for collecting the scat, preserving the scat, and we are sending scat samples to Trent University in Ontario, and they are doing the DNA analysis. DNA is really the only way The only credible way that you're going to be able to tell the difference between a coyote-wolf hybrid and a wolf, especially here in Maine and Northeast U.S. and Maritime Canada, south of the St. Lawrence River, because these coyote-wolf hybrids and wolves look so similar, the only really real way to tell the difference is to do the DNA testing. So because our government refuses to do anything, we've chosen to do it ourselves, and so far we've come up with one wolf. And I want to encourage folks in Newfoundland, if you have any wolf advocates out there or wildlife advocates out there, you folks can do the same thing. You ride the roads, you collect scat, you preserve it. You might contact Trent University because they're probably the best place to have these analyses done. And you can find out for yourselves what you have for animals on the island, wolves, coyote-wolf hybrids, wolf-coyote hybrids, whatever. The DNA collected through the scat can help you identify exactly what these animals are.
Of course, it's hard to tell, of course, with scat if you're dealing with one animal or many animals.
You're looking for, obviously, larger scat. You're looking for canid scat. The only way to tell what these are, how many you have, potentially the sex, is to collect the scat and have them analyzed. Now, the cost to have these scat analyzed is $100 Canadian per scat. So we're going to be, eventually, when all is said and done, we'll have enough money to run between 30 and 40 scat samples.
My guest today on Target St. John's is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition. His name is John Gloa. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today on Target St. John's is John Gloa. He is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition. And you may be asking, why are we talking to a gentleman in the United States, no less, about wolves? Well, he's been here numerous times. He's been watching our situation with wolves. He has a very keen interest in wolves, of course. John, you spoke earlier about, how do people know if there's wolves around? Well, you're not necessarily going to know. You're not going to see them because they tend to keep a wide berth from people. But are there signs that wolves are established in your area?
Here in Maine, we have a huge, some folks call them coy wolves because they're not coyotes, they're not wolves. We have a huge coy wolf / coyote population, numbering in probably more than 10,000. What is happening is that wolf population in Ontario, now these are the eastern wolves. Over the last couple decades, wolves in Ontario have gotten increased protection. And there's a very high likelihood that wolves are dispersing from Ontario and potentially southern Quebec across the St. Lawrence River into Northeast U.S., New York State, and New England. We see pictures all the time of animals that could be either a coy wolf or a wolf. As I said before, the government does not want them here. The government is not going to do anything to try to determine their status. The governments simply say they're not here, which is why we're doing the work. Through our little project, we actually documented the first eastern wolf documented, live eastern wolf documented through DNA ever. And I think it's a poor reflection on our governments that a little organization that operates out of my basement here in China, Maine, has done more for wolf recovery and to attempt to determine the status of wolves than either our state or federal governments. So, as I said before, we have several dozen scats that we've collected through a large area of Maine. We'll be sending those to Trent University, and we'll find out if we have more wolves. It's very, very likely that wolves are here. It's very likely that wolves are being killed by hunters and trappers because the governments encourage the killing of wolves by encouraging the killing of coyotes. And basically, we're trying to find the truth. That's what we're trying to do. And we expect that, you know, this time next year or come spring, we'll have evidence of additional wolves here in the Northeast.
How does this Labrador gray wolf compare to the eastern wolf? It's a much larger animal, is it not?
It's going to be a bigger animal. Yeah. The eastern wolf average size is ballpark 50 to 70 pounds. The gray wolf of Labrador can go, or even the gray wolf. Most of the wolves that we've had killed here, we've had wolves killed in New York, Maine, Vermont. Most of those wolves have been primarily gray wolves, and most of them have been in the 80 to 100-pound range. So the wolves in Labrador are going to average probably 20 to 30 pounds more than the wolves that are in the eastern wolf that's found primarily in and around Algonquin Park. Yeah.
A formidable animal. So if you see it, you would know the difference.
I would say you probably would. There's very little overlap, to my knowledge, between gray wolf range in Canada and eastern wolves. Now, there is some hybridization going on in Ontario. But, for example, in Labrador, I don't believe there's much overlap between the ranges of the two animals, at least not yet. Here, you know, in Newfoundland, if you see a gray wolf, a Labrador gray wolf from Newfoundland, you're going to know that it's a much, much bigger animal than what you're typically used to seeing. And you mentioned Joe Sterling, and we know of, just by looking at the internet, we know of at least four wolves killed in Newfoundland in recent years. And those were all, you know, they were killed. They knew they were large animals. They knew they weren't coyotes. And the message we try to send to folks is if you don't know what you're shooting at, you shouldn't be shooting it. If you think it may be a wolf, again, Newfoundland now has a wolf season. So it's now legal to kill them. But we certainly encourage people not to kill them and let them return. Let them return naturally and perform the valuable function that they perform in the ecosystem.
Can the hybrids themselves breed?
Absolutely, yeah.
So they are closely related enough that they can continue on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They sure can. In Ontario, you have gray wolves interbreeding with the coyote, the coy wolf. You have gray wolves interbreeding with the eastern wolves, and they call it Canis supus. They're animals that are all different, basically all different shapes and sizes, and all different genetic makeups in this region of hybridization across Ontario and southern Quebec. Yep. And you have a very, very interesting situation going on right now in Newfoundland. I understand you tried to contact the government and get their take on this. Did you have any success?
Oh, yes. You know, I got a statement, and they gave me some information on them. Yep. Genetic testing has confirmed the presence of wolves and coyote wolf hybrids on the island. In 2012, a large male canid harvested on the Bonavista Peninsula, and we all remember him very well, was confirmed as a wolf, representing the first documented wolf on the island since the 1920s. In 2013, a large male canid trapped on the Bay Vert Peninsula was genetically determined to be the result of a hybridization between a female Labrador wolf and a male eastern coyote. This was the first documented evidence of hybridization between a wolf and a coyote in this province. To date, there have been 5 Labrador wolves and 13 hybrids genetically confirmed on the island of Newfoundland.
Okay.
According to government.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, because we're starting to run out of time, but I wanted to ask you this. What about the impact on other predators? Can wolves outcompete other native species like lynx and bear? Because that would be a concern to some people as well.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know that much about that. Wolves typically take larger prey. Lynx, for example, do you folks have snowshoe hare on the island?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Snowshoe hare are the favorite food of lynx. So I would say there's very, very little competition there. And wolves tend to take the larger animals. They'll tend to take the cervids, the moose, the deer, caribou, and beaver. Wolves love beaver. So I don't think there's going to be too much competition between wolves and lynx. Bears tend to favor calves. Bears will take caribou calves. They'll take moose calves. So I honestly don't think there's going to be too much competition there either. There may be some competition over a carcass. But they all three live together, all across, North America where there's suitable habitat. So it's important to know that the wolves basically belong there. They lived there for thousands of years. The food is there. The habitat's there. And Mother Nature is basically righting a wrong. It's filling that void that humans created. I do want to mention briefly, too, potential benefits of wolf recovery. One is if you have less moose, potentially you'll have less moose car collisions. And the economic benefit can be huge if Newfoundland chooses to take advantage of wolf-related ecotourism and having people come to the island to try to see and hear wolves. I mean, it's huge, huge business out in Yellowstone, and it's a big, big draw for folks in Algonquin Park and elsewhere. So potentially there's a real economic upside to wolf recovery in Newfoundland.
Are wolves known to attack people? We've seen some cases where coyotes have done so. Are they known to come after people?
It's very, very rare. What I tell folks is you're far more at risk from the neighborhood dog, or you're far more at risk trying crossing the street or falling in your bathtub. The chances of you being bitten by a wolf are so infinitesimally small as to be not even worth consideration, frankly.
And how should you protect yourself if you happen to be out in the woods and you're not sure if you're entering wolf territory?
There's no need to protect yourself. Just go about living your life. The wolf will go about living its life. Chances are you'll never know it's there. If you do see it, it's not gonna bother you. It's not gonna pay any attention to you. Now, I will say that places like Algonquin Park, where there have been incidents of wolves biting people, incidents of the coyotes killing that young woman up in Nova Scotia, those were situations where wolves became habituated to humans because humans were feeding them. And you should never feed a wild animal. You should never feed a bear. You should never feed a wolf. They'll become habituated to you. They'll lose their fear of humans. And if you just go about living your life, don't feed these animals. They won't have anything to do with you. They'll go as far and as fast as they can in the other direction if and when they see or hear you. So it's really a non-issue. You're far more at risk from human being hurt by humans than you are by wolves.
John Gloa, I do appreciate your time this afternoon. It's been an interesting conversation. I've had some people sending me pictures, intriguingly, of some pups on the southern shore, what we call the southern shore here, just south of St. John's.
Very
interesting indeed. I appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. That's John Gloa. He is the president and founder of the Maine Wolf Coalition. A very interesting conversation, no doubt. If you have any thoughts on that, you're welcome to give us a call on Open Line or any of our other programs in the days ahead. I'm off again tomorrow. Sorry about that, but I'll be back on Monday, ready and raring to go. So stay tuned.